This morning we were thinking of the command which Joshua left with the people as they were going to return or at least go back to the land allocated to them in the land of promise, and the way in which they were fragmenting as a cohesive unit of a nation, and therefore the dangers that was going to come upon each one of them, the groups going in different places and mixing with the inhabitants of the land. And he told them, Joshua told them time and time again, cleave, cleave, stick close by the Lord God that you've experienced and that you've known, who's led you out of Egypt through the wilderness, who's been true to his word, a faithful and unreliable God. Hold on to such a God, because you're going to come underneath pressure to wean you away or to drive you away from him. The arguments that he used for these, at least to these people, he set out the way in which God had been good to them in the history of bringing them out of Egypt and preserving them in the wilderness. The way in which they had the experience of others in their family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who had done exactly like Joshua had told them, cleaving to the Lord. But what does it mean? What does it mean to cleave to the Lord? What does it mean to hold on to the Lord? What's involved in doing that? I want tonight for us to think of the example given in the two readings we had from Numbers 13 and 14 and also from Joshua 14, of the example that's given to us there of Caleb. A man who did exactly like Joshua said. He was cleaving to the Lord. He was taking God at face value. A God who means exactly what he says. The promises, as well as the threats, are backed up with the power and the integrity of God. And as we try to translate that down into our own living, sometimes standing up for the Lord, it's not a foolish boldness. It's not something that's ultimately going to lead to embarrassment and to shame. Sometimes that's the thoughts that crowd into our minds and sometimes overwhelm us. We sometimes think that if we stand up and stand out from the Lord, that eventually, sooner or later, perhaps we're going to have to backpedal or to abandon what we've told or what we've stood up for. I want us this evening to think of the example of Caleb as a flesh and blood example to encourage us in what Joshua was saying to us this morning, to cleave to the Lord. And I want us, first of all, to think of the sheer consistency of this man's living and character. We've read two separate incidents separated by 45 years. And there's not one shred of variation or change in all of these 45 years. We're told not a lot about Caleb, but the little that we've got encourages us, because we see immediately the sincere simplicity of this man's living. We can immediately detect the brave boldness. We can see and read the calm tranquility. As we listen to his words, especially in Joshua chapter 14, when he stands front and center and speaks to Joshua, we can see the body language. There's nothing soft or malleable about this man. There's a strand of steel in this man's character. There's something different about this man, Caleb. We're told it's secret here and in other places that he had another spirit. He wholly followed the Lord. In chapter 14 of Joshua, it's repeated for us several times. He wholly followed the Lord. We said it this morning. The Hebrew behind that phrase is that he filled himself with the Lord. It was his preoccupation. It was his total commitment. It was the priority of his life, holding on to what the Lord had given him by promise. He never flinched, he never wavered, he never blinked. He never, what do we call it today, he never played chicken with what the Lord had said to him. Despite all the years and all the problems and all the difficulties, in the face of all the obstacles, he held on to it. Caleb, as he has always been, his faith and his reliance upon the Lord to do what God had promised, that faith never changed. His utter consistency. It might look impossible. It might seem impossible. But he never flinched in holding on to what God had promised. Go back. Go back these 45 years to a man who was just 40 years old. We've listened to him speak there in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The way in which for 40 days they explored the land, 12 representatives of the nation, one from each tribe. They took samples back of the richness of that land. They composed their report and they presented their report to all the nation. 10 of these people, as they reported, spoke truly about the riches, but then they emphasized it, and the impression that they left with the people was that, yes, there's all this, but there's giants, and they've got big cities, and they've got mighty armies, and what are we against them? So much so that the heart of the people melted. They were bowed down and intimidated by the report of 10 men. There was no way to capture them. But then the last two spoke, Caleb and Joshua. They spoke, yes, everything that these 10 men before us have said is true. We're not going to downplay it. We're not going to minimize it. We're not going to try to hide our head in the sand. We're going forward with a realistic appraisal of the situation we're going into. Yet they left out something very important, says Caleb. God, who's with us, is able to overcome. He is able to defeat. He is able to give the victory unto us. He stilled the people. He was the one to the fore speaking. He was more forthright. He was defiant of these faithless cowards who forgot what God had done for them in Egypt, who forgot what God had done for them in bringing them through the wilderness. Their faith was so easily melted away in the face of new problems without incorporating the way God had been with them in the past and what God had done for them in the past and God would be able to do for them in the future. His eye and his faith and his trust was fixed firmly on the ability of his God. The problems weren't his problems. If anything, the problems belonged to the Lord. And he was going to solve them. And he was going to overcome them. What was required of the nation was to follow and to trust in that Lord and in their God. Caleb and Joshua, therefore, they went against the flow. They went against the tide. All the rest of the reports were measuring Israel against these men, the giants, the cities, the armament, the resources. And when they made that comparison, well, it just wasn't a comparison. The giants won every time. But when Joshua and Caleb made their report, and when they made a comparison, it wasn't Israel against the giants, it was God against the giants. And when that's the perception, and that's the picture, then God wins every time. There was no doubt. That's the way he spoke 45 years ago. And when you come forward in his life, being an island period, 45 years in the wilderness that we're going to come to just in a minute. But these 45 years, what effect have they had upon him? Has he mellowed in his character? Has he abandoned his forthright views? Has he backpedaled in anything what he said? Has he gone around compromising, apologizing? Has he gone around saying, okay, it was only the bravado of youth? Is that what he says? No. Pick up on the consistency of his character. God who has helped them in the past, when they were in tight circumstances with their back against the wall. God who saved them out of Egypt in the wilderness and in many other situations. That God who brought them into the land, who fought for them when they were against so many troublesome situations, even in the land of promise, is the same God now who will take them into inheritance. The same God who would now go forward with them. Caleb, 45 years later. And he hasn't changed a whit. The consistency of his character. How long have we known the Lord? What have we discovered about our God and his character? We can put our amen to some, to many of the things that Caleb would say. God has never let me down. God has never disappointed me. There have been times in my life when, yes, there have been inconsistencies and variations. There have been times in my life when I haven't been as good as I ought to have been, when I've wandered and I've faltered and I've weakened. Yes, these are true of me. But not once, no, not once, has God been less than his word and his promise and his character. That's what he discovered. Have we discovered the same things? God hasn't changed. Neither should we. Caleb followed him completely. Caleb followed him enthusiastically. It wasn't a pick and mix like you get in Woolies. A little bit of that and a little bit of this. I don't like them, so I'm leaving them behind. It wasn't a pick and mix. Every single promise, every single thing that God has said, God will fulfill it. Some of them, we can see they're relatively easy and we can see perhaps the ways in which they will be fulfilled. There have been other things that have happened and we couldn't for one moment envisage how God was going to solve them or to bring about what he had promised. But nevertheless, we hold on to what God has said. And we do so enthusiastically. When you hear him speaking here in Joshua chapter 4, it's not somebody that's cold and clinical. It's not somebody that's just coming and going through a speech and a routine. It's not somebody that's just deadpan and speaking almost because he has to. There's something vibrant. There's something inside the bones of this man. There's something there gripping him and not letting him go. The energy, the application. He's not going to flinch one iota. He's not going to be moved by the people. He's not going to be overwhelmed by the difficulties, the wilderness experiences, the passing of the years. None of them. They're like water passing him by off a duck's back. They don't stick. They don't stay. His consistent character of reliance upon the Lord. He is trusting. He is cleaving to the Lord. Are we? Even after 45 5 years. Well, that's the first thing that we get out of this man's life, the consistency of his life, the tone of his life. But if that's the first thing we see, the consistency of the man, the second thing surely that we've got to pick up on is the courage of the man with his convictions. How did all these things affect Caleb? We've tried to paint some of the possibilities that, well, when somebody grows old, they mature, they think again of their words, they might modify them, they might amend them, they might even withdraw them and apologize for them. Was that the way that Caleb behaved? Caleb spoke out of his conviction. See what he says in Joshua 14 and 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He spoke from himself of his conviction. He spoke from his own utter confidence in God, the courage to do so. Can you imagine what it would require to stand up there in front of a crowd, to stand up there in front of a nation, when you're in a hostile environment, you've had 10 reports all going along the same line, all of them decrying any forward action or movement, and here he comes front and center and he speaks totally differently. The courage of his convictions. And of course we know that that will inevitably lead to isolation. In Numbers 14 we read there of the way in which the people were prepared to stone him. That's how intense their opposition was to him. But it brings home to us the isolation that he felt, he experienced when he stood up and stood out for the Lord, cleaving to the Lord. Sometimes it's not an easy path. Sometimes it requires courage from us to do so. In school, at work, in the shops, in society, in our streets, in whatever organization we might be involved in, there's always this pressure. We see something wrong and we cannot let it go past. But in speaking out against it, bringing in a moral or a Christian point of view, so often that brings isolation. It brings hurt. It brings name-calling. But what man does, intense as it is nothing compared to what the devil does. When we stand up for the courage of our convictions and prepare to name the name of Christ in a hostile environment. The courage that he had to stand up and speak out for God. We've got to be prepared for that. We've got to realize what's involved in doing it. The isolation, the hostility, the pressure that's going to be brought upon us, intensely so. But always in doing it, to remind ourselves that we're not alone in what we do. Let me go straight forward right through to the New Testament and Paul in his old age. Paul there was somebody very like Caleb. He had the courage of his convictions. He spoke out, and he spoke out in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, he was, through the process of Roman law, he was brought into prison in Rome. There was the possibility of death as a sword hanging over his head. And there in the prison, perhaps, being human, we can all understand it, he felt lonely and he felt alone sometimes, perhaps, and he asked somebody to come and help him. But these people weren't made of the same metal as Paul was. And his requests were declined, and he was left alone. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 16 and 17 tells us of it. He was alone there. But although he was alone, he was not lonely. Because we're told that the Lord was with him. comforting and strengthening him to speak more for him. And as Paul's experience was of the Lord's presence there, so also the promise is given to every one of the Lord's people. Hebrews 13:5, I will never, no, never ever, I will never leave you. In dangers and in difficulties, as we stand up for the Lord, as we stand out for him, the Lord is with us. And that's a very, very precious discovery. But it is also a very permanent lesson. The courage of his convictions. And these convictions, as we said, they didn't waver through time. That brings home the element of patience in this man, Caleb. 45 years had passed since they were given to him. That's a long time. That's a long time for faith to live on promises. Sometimes you see, perhaps in mountainous terrain, sometimes you'll see high up on a hillside a tree, and it's almost defying existence there. No ground, just amongst the rocks. Growing. And it's growing by putting its roots deep down, looking for and drawing from the food that is there. Drawing deep that it would survive in such a hostile environment. Drawing deep. That's what Caleb was doing, cleaving to the Lord, holding tight after 45 years. All that he's got to hold on to is a promise. All that he's got is what God has said to him. Can you imagine how he felt? Having turned away from Kadesh Barnea, got the promise, yes, you're going to have the land. Everywhere your foot fell, everywhere you stood, everywhere your footprint is found, Caleb, that's yours. But then, wait a minute, you're going that way, not that way. And so they went off into the wilderness. And maybe after just 2 or 3 days, they came back to the borders and they says, okay, we're going in now. No, Caleb, you're not. And he turns away. Maybe after 10 years, again, through all the wandering in the wilderness, they come near to the border again of the promised land. And the hope rises in the heart of Caleb and he says, oh, we're going in now. No, you're not. And you're turned away. And so it goes on and on and on with all of the disappointments, with all of the setbacks. 45 years waiting patiently for what God had promised. The courage of his convictions to hold on, to draw deep for such a long time. And this courage and these convictions weren't affected in any way by the danger that was in front of him. Wherever his foot went was his. That's the promise that he had. And where was it Caleb went? He didn't content himself with the lowlands. Caleb went probing high into the mountains. Give me this mountain, he says. Give me Hebron. It was the most inhospitable of the places that they visited. It was a place that perhaps the other spies, well, we'll write that off right away. We won't bother going near Hebron because we're just not able to take it anyway because of the cities and the giants and such like. Well, we might as well just simply dismiss it right away. It's just not on. But not for Caleb. The very things that these people latched onto, the very things that these people, the other 10, spoke of as putting it beyond the pale. These were the very things that Caleb latched onto. And these were the very things that compelled him. The very things that laid hold of him. They were too terrified to go there. Oh, not Caleb. He wasn't deterred by the dangers because all the time in his mind, all the time in his thoughts, all the time in his spirit, he was, remember what we said, he was filling himself with the Lord. The most danger, the most extreme of danger, the biggest, the strongest, the hardest of men, of cities, of problems. Whatever word you want to use, the most extreme superlative you can think of, the most extreme way you want to express it, it didn't move Caleb from his conviction, the courage that he had, holding on to what God had given to him. This is the man set before us, cleaving to the Lord. And there's one last thought, not only the consistency of his living, not only the courage of his convictions, the third thing I want us to think of is his confidence. His confidence in the promise and the word of God. Notice the way he speaks when he comes front and center in Joshua 14. Here he is, 85 years old. There's a great generation gap between the two of them and the rest of the people, because from Kadesh Barnea, every single one that rebelled and that was refused to believe God's ability to take the land and give it to the people, every one of them was condemned to wander in the wilderness until they left behind a trail of crosses and graves. And the very people that they were afraid of, their young ones, their wives, the vulnerable amongst them, these are the ones that were then going to grow up in the wilderness, and they were the ones that were going to come in to inherit the land. A great generation gap between them and these two old men, Joshua and Caleb. And you find this man breaking the ranks. You find this man in chapter 14, Joshua 14, 6. He comes to the front and he speaks. And what is it that he speaks, and what's the argument that he bases all his pleas on? Five times. Go through these verses again and you'll find it. Five times he comes back and he says, "The Lord said it. The Lord said it. The Lord said it." All that he's holding on to and all that he needs to hold on to is that God has said it. The word that the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said." The word Moses, the Lord spake this word to Moses. And so it goes on. The Lord spake, the Lord said. His confidence, his utter confidence in what God had said. God's word was not going to fall empty to the ground. It wasn't going to disappoint him. What God had said was the anchor to the life and the character of this man. He held on to the promise God had made, cleaving to the Lord through thick and thin. What a tremendous example that is for ourselves. God has made a promise of forgiveness and of everlasting life. God has given a promise of great blessings coming from the hands of Jesus Christ, his Son. God has great promises in the Scripture for us. And what he requires of us is to trust in him and to rely upon him. Do we rely upon and hold on to these promises? There are times when there are dangers, difficulties. There are times when there are obstacles. There are times perhaps we've been waiting for years for the fulfillment of one promise. There are times when we're in intense conflict and battle. So many different analogies and parallels in our life and in the life of these people in the book of Joshua. And we must do the same as Caleb. We must hold on. Lord, you've said it. Lord, you've promised this. And I'm holding on. I don't have much left. In fact, Lord, I don't have anything left but this promise. That's all I've got through all the years. I've been through the mangle and I've been through the ringer. I've been through the troubles and the difficulties of life, and all I've got is this promise. And the devil has tried to open my fingers to let it go, but I'm still holding on. Lord, you said it. Do it. That's this man's life. But side by side with that, trust in what God has said, there is also the preservation of the man himself. Remember, these promises would be nothing if Caleb had been lost in the wilderness. They would be nothing if Caleb had been a doddery old man, hardly able to put one foot in front of the other. See what he says here. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war, to go out, to come in. You see, he's recognizing also God's preservation of himself. For years he was a marked man. For years he was the one with Joshua had spoken out against the report of the 10 others. And you can imagine the way in which, having tried to stone him, they would have put him into Coventry and ignored him and sidelined him. For years he was a marked man, until the years passed and they realized perhaps what the Lord was doing to them as a nation, and the way in which, yes, well, after all, maybe, just possibly, Caleb and Joshua, they were the ones that were right after all. And he could look back over the years and he could see the preservation, the protection. And the longer it went on, and the more that he saw, the stronger his confidence became. The promise indeed was going to be fulfilled. And he was holding on to God to do it for him. Let the nation whimper. Let them sneer. Let them throw stones and cast names. But for Caleb, all that he had and was holding on to was God's promise. If the Lord, verse 12, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. That's not a doubt. That perhaps when we read it and we come to that word, if, perhaps we think, well, is this Caleb backpedaling after all? Is this Caleb in his old age just qualifying his words? No. He is here holding on to what God has said, yes. But he is not complacent. He's confident, but he's not complacent. He is there holding on to the promise, and he is looking to the Lord to fill in the details. God has said, I'll give you it, Horeb. I'll give you the land. I'll give you everywhere you've been, Caleb. And now Caleb is just holding the promise before the Lord and saying to the Lord, well, there's the promise. What about the detail? How is it going to happen? The Lord surprises him and every one of his people down through the years by the way in which he fulfills the promises he's made for us. Promises that we thought we could understand. Promises that we thought, well, that's simple. We know how it's going to happen. We know how it's going to fall out. And then the Lord comes and in fulfilling it, he shows us the wonder of his grace. And all of the details only amaze us. the promises the Lord gives, the way in which we've got to cleave, hold on to the Lord. And as we do so over the years and through the troubles and with all the changes that go on round about us, as we hold on to them and hold them up to the Lord, so often the Lord surprises us by the way He answers them. Taking all of these things as we close, applying them to the promises of the gospel, God has truly given us wonderful things in Jesus Christ, His Son. And every time we come to Him with a promise, we are just like Caleb. We hold on to it tenaciously, cleave it. But we don't know. We cannot prescribe. We cannot second guess our God. He so often does wonderful things, amazing things, in fulfilling His promises to His people. And what He requires of us is that we hold them tight, that we cleave to the Lord, that we do not let go what He's spoken, what He's given, what He has said He will do. And it comes down to a simple test as we finish, that we are to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ, trust and rely upon Him. And it'll be more than perhaps than 45 years. It might be more, almost approaching a whole lifetime. But if we still hold on to the promise when we breathe our last, we will see the fulfillment of it on a scale and in a way that we could never have thought of when we come into His presence. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we bless Thy name for Thy goodness in dealing with us and providing for us. We bless Thee, O Lord, for Thy presence amongst us. And we ask of Thee that Thou wouldst seal this word of instruction to our hearts. Enable us to take the goodness to ourselves and to think of it yet further when we perhaps on our own in this coming week, and in revisiting the Scriptures, may we have consequence renewing of our strength for all that is required of us as we seek to live for Thee in our society and in our day. Bless us and Thy word to our soul then, and forgive us our shortcomings and failures in holy things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.